That's a scene from a movie, and the characters there, the girl's name is Hadassah, and the man there is King Xerxes, and Hadassah is a Jewish name that was changed then later to Esther, and that is part of the story of Esther. And we are going to spend a few weeks here coming up going over and through the parts of the book, the Old Testament book of Esther. It is it's an interesting, kind of fascinating story that is in the Bible, and it's just a wonderful story, and I think I'm looking forward here to the next few weeks that we can do this. That scene comes from the movie, and he said it in that there, that's why I included that part of it. It's called One Night with the King. And this was a movie that was, it's a little older than what I thought it was. It's actually 12 years old now, and since we're going to be on the Book of Esther, that movie is free to watch online. And if you're interested in watching that, you can go to our church's website and you can find it there. You can watch it in the comfort of your home. It's it's not perfectly in line with Scripture. You know, for sure, you know, Hollywood, how they do it, they're going to take some liberties a little bit. But it's a good movie, and I encourage you to watch that movie. And I also encourage you here in the next few weeks to get your Bibles out and read. It's a short book. Only 10 chapters there, and it's a wonderful story. The book, Esther, really is not one, probably, that is preached a lot in church services. They just don't do it, and there's a number of reasons. One of the reasons is, you know, for a book in the Bible, there is no direct reference to God. When you go through that, you'll read that there really is, God's name is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. So it's not necessarily a particularly religious book, but it is a story, no doubt, that was included in the book. And some of our founding father people, they didn't like it at all. John Calvin, which is one of the founders of our church, never preached from it, never wrote a commentary on it. Martin Luther, who started the Protestant Reformation that we are a part of, said this. He says, "I am such a great enemy to that book that I wish that it had not come to us at all, for it has too many heathen unnaturalities. That's a hard word for me to say. So, yeah, it's kind of a strange book. Probably not talked about it much, but I think it's just rich with a great story, and I think some things that we can in the 21st century glean from and apply to our lives. So again, I'd encourage you to watch that movie, and I would encourage you to read this book as well. I'm going to jump in kind of in the middle of the heart of this to where the conflict of this story comes from. So if you have your Bibles and want to turn to Esther, the third chapter of Esther, we're going to jump in there, and we'll come back in the next few weeks and give some more of the background, but we're going to jump in here. And in verse 1 it says, after these events, King Xerxes, who's, depending on your translation, you may have another name in there that will confuse you a little bit. It looks like Ahasuerus. Some translations have that name in there, but most of them have the name Xerxes in there. I like Xerxes. It's just kind of a guy name. I think if I had one more son, I'd name him Xerxes. It's just, you know, that's much better than Ahasuerus, you know. I like Xerxes. You know, sounds good. Mitch, maybe we'll just rename you to Xerxes and we'll be done with it. So anyways, this king honors Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, elevating him and giving him a seat of honor higher than all of the other nobles. So Xerxes honors this guy named Haman. All of the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid honor to Haman, for the king had commanded this concerning him. But Mordecai, another character here who is an Israelite, he is a Jew, and he is in this land. Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor. Then the royal officials at the king's gate said to Mordecai, "Why do you disobey the king's command?" Day after day they spoke to him, but he refused to comply. Therefore they told Haman about it to see whether Mordecai's behavior would be tolerated, for he had told them he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, he was enraged. Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all of Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes. So in there, and in this story, like all good stories, you know, you could quickly pick out here, even just looking at this segment of the story, there's good guys and bad guys. You know, there's villains and there's heroes and there's conflict, and eventually there will be resolution to this. And here is the obvious conflict for we people of God, as we read this thing and we see the conflict that happens here about his story and about his people. Haman looked for a way to destroy all of the Jews, all of Israel, all of Mordecai's people throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes. Esther yet is not mentioned in this passage. You wonder why the book got its title and the girl we saw in the clip there. We didn't get that far with the film, but she is an orphaned cousin to Mordecai. And that's where we'll find her place. So it's really difficult, I think, to jump in and, you know, just jump into a passage of the Bible and try to understand everything that is there without having some sort of context and some sort of background. So I want to take just a little bit of time to get us kind of placed on what is going on here and what are the events that are taking place. Remember how I would always do this? You know, I always use my hand up here and say, you know, we're here, and I draw the timeline across here, you know, and this is where we're at. I tried to do a little better. I came up with an actual graphic here of a timeline to help us out here. And this is the history sort of Israel, from the beginning of Israel till the time of Christ. And side note here, I will tell you, I'm pretty convinced that God has a sense of humor. Because, you know, history and language arts, when I was in school, in high school and college, not my thing. You know, I did not like language arts. I did not like studying history. I know, you know, my English teacher, Lois Goodall, and I had a couple of history professors in college, Professor Buzzard and Professor Bishop. They were teaching Western civilizations and world history and this stuff. And I just did not care for it. And now look at where I'm at here. You know, I'm having to give little mini history lessons and, you know, language arts. I don't, who needs speech class and who needs to do this stuff? You know, and I can't write. I can't talk. I don't know history, and here I am. So word for our young people here, if you're hating language arts and you're hating history, watch out. God's going to stick you in a pulpit somewhere, and he's just going to get a snicker. I'll show you, you know. I'm pretty sure he's got a sense of humor. So that's where we are. So this background of where we are at with Israel, you know, and we've been through this several times, but God in his passion, in this pursuit of his greatest creation, humans, he's estranged from them because we screwed up, we messed up, but he loves us so much, and he wants all humans to be restored to him. That's his goal. That's his plan from cover to cover in this book. That's what he's about. That's what he's doing. And he goes about that primarily through a people. I'm going to bring myself to everybody in the world through a people. And he chooses out this tribe of people from Abraham. And that's where Israel starts. So I can't read the year there. It's 2000 something there. It's when Abraham starts. And that's when the nation of Israel is founded. And the purpose of Israel is to be this people that is set apart, that's different from the rest of the world, that is holy, that's what set apart means, for the purpose of bringing himself to all of humankind. And the Old Testament is this pretty much primarily the story about how God is interacting with this nation Israel to do just that. And some other pieces of timeline that we have in there, we see that, you know, Moses pulls those people out of Egypt when they were enslaved there. And then David, King David is after Moses. And then Daniel is a prophet, I think, I can't read it, but somebody's up in there. And then later on, you see up around there is where we see the time of Christ. And this is sort of the general big picture of Israel. And this was her purpose. They were called to be separate. They were to be this people that was to bring God to the nations. And how he did it? You know, he does it first through calling people, and he gives them the 10 words or the 10 commandments. These are the things I want you to do. This is how I want you to live. This is how you're going to be different from all those cultures that are around you. And they're going to see that they're different. He gave those to Moses. And then that developed into the whole law, all the things that we read about in Deuteronomy and in the book of Leviticus. All this law that is how we fulfill those 10 words, those 10 commandments. That's what these people were to do. They were to be obedient to these instructions that God had given them. to pay honor only to him. You have me as your God. That's that first commandment. All these other laws are built around that, about being obedient and how we care for each other and how we care for other people. That's what they're to do. And I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you this stuff, and you're going to be prosperous here. You're going to have this land called the Promised Land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And people are going to see me in you. And that's who they were to be as people. They were to maintain their fidelity or their faithfulness to God in order that they would fulfill exactly what they were to do. And they were then to be great. When they were called in Genesis 12, God says, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. That's what they were to do. And in some regards, I think they did that. They fulfilled this because the nation of Israel maintained themselves all the way up to the right side of that timeline. And Jesus was an Israelite. He was a Jew. And that's how God is going to bring himself to all the world, ultimately, through this people. Ultimately, we know how he did it, through Christ. But along the way in this history, because the Israelites, the Jewish people, are human, they mess up. They just fall away from being that faithful people that they are supposed to be to God. Jeremiah is a prophet that lives about in the same time as when the book of Esther was written. And he warns Israel about this. He says this in Jeremiah 25, and though the Lord persistently sent you all of his servants, the prophets, you have neither listened nor inclined your hearts to hear. Jeremiah is saying these prophets came. Israel, God sent these people, these prophets to you, and they tell you what it is you need to hear, and you will not hear. When they said, turn now, every one of you, from your evil way and wicked doings, and you will remain upon the land the Lord has given you and your ancestors from old and forever. Do not go after other gods, do not serve and worship them, and do not provoke me to anger with the work of your hands. Then I will do you no harm, yet you do not listen to me, says the Lord, and so you have provoked me to anger with the work of your hands, of your own harm. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not obeyed my words, I'm going to send you for all the tribes of the north, says the Lord, even for King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants and against all the nations around. So in a nutshell, what's going on here? God called these people to be obedient, to be after me only, not after other stuff, not after other gods. And I'll keep you in this land and I'll keep you prosperous. Your barns will be full and you'll have this stuff when you stay true to me. But they don't. They start chasing after other stuff. They start chasing after other gods. And so Jeremiah said, this is going to happen. We're going to kick you out of here. We're going to boot you out of this promised land. And that's just exactly what happened. And a couple of key things that happened here is in the year about 587, in 722, Assyria takes 10 of the tribes to the north, conquers them, obliterates the land, and removes 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel. They're no longer there. Then Nebuchadnezzar comes along now in about 587, and he takes the southern two tribes. He ransacks all of Israel, all of Jerusalem, and he carries off all of these people to Babylon. Babylon then is taken over by the Persian Empire a little bit later on, and this is the time where we find Esther. She is around 480 in there somewhere. So you can see Babylon's down at the bottom there, and then the Persian Empire is what takes over there. And this is where we find ourselves. So Israel has just been jacked out of her home country. Some of them are scattered all over, but those last tribes, a bunch of them, are now in the Persian Empire, what we would call modern-day Iran, is where they're at. And so King Xerxes is the guy that's in charge of this. And this is where we find ourselves in the middle of Esther's story. Don't do this. Don't chase after other gods. Stay true to me. Stay true to me, and I will be faithful to you, and you will be in the right relationship with me, and you will prosper. If you don't, I'm going to let the world take over. Don't get tangled up with things of the world. Listen, don't get caught up in being financially secure. Don't be ensnared by your career and your professional goals or your aspirations. Don't be shackled by trying to give all your kids every opportunity available. Don't get knotted up by putting all this excessive energy in your vacations and your boats and your bikes and your BMWs. Don't get all jazzed about what other people think or what you wear or what you look like or what neighborhood you live in. Those weren't exactly his words for Israel at the time. If he was speaking to us today, those are probably some of the warnings he would say. Don't chase after other gods. Those things can become gods to you when you become entangled and they become first and you're strangled by them because you've not put God first. So many years later, Jesus knew this. He knew that we would want to chase after these other things and we'd be worrying about all this stuff, you know, our money and our clothes and what other people think and all this stuff. And in Matthew 6, Jesus says, don't worry. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? But instead, Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Then all of these things will be given to you as well. So yeah, the same kinds of things that would have caused Israel the problems where they've got exiled from their land, I think similarly we can too. We can fall into this trap of allowing other gods to sneak into our lives. During this time that Esther and her family is still in the kingdom of Xerxes, some of the Jews were allowed to come back. There was a king named Cyrus that said, I want you to go back to Jerusalem. I want you to restore your land. I want you to build your temple that you once had and got destroyed. I want your religion to start. Some people had gone back there already. He was doing it for political motives. He wanted to get his fingers into that part of Judea there so that he could do his business. But some of them went back, but some of them chose to stay in this land of exile. This place that what we would call Iran. And no doubt many of the people during this time, because they'd been there so long, it would have become home. They would have been comfortable there. They would have called this place their own. They were born there and they settled there and their house was there. You'd get it. You'd kind of start to feel home there. But you just gotta wonder about these people and the stories they would have heard and they would have read the scrolls of their history and their faith. Did they begin to wonder, you know, we were called to be this people. We're Israel. We're the children of God. And here we are stuck over here, not in a land that's our own, and we're not doing the business that we were supposed to do. Did they wonder about wanting to get back to become that prosperous people that God would bless? You know, purpose is important. An overall purpose of who we are is an important attribute of how we function. And what have they wondered about that? What have they been questioning that they were supposed to be these ambassadors for all people? And here they are. They're stuck. They're exiled, living under the rule of some other king, some other religion, and it was a king that was a human king. And they would have remembered that they were there because of disobedience. Maybe not theirs, but for sure their ancestors. They were not faithful to God, and the prophets told them that if they weren't, this is what was going to happen. And I can't help but think that many of them there during this time of Esther, that they would have thought this foreign land was someplace they shouldn't have been, and there was this inner yearning to get back to what God had intended them to do. For sure, I think that would have happened. And this is where I think the story is not that much unlike ours. Because I think the church, us, you and me, we followers of Jesus Christ, are the people that is to continue that original mission of what God called Israel to do. That is part of who we are as a people. We are the vehicle. We are the means by which all of the world can come and connect with God. That's us. That was Israel's big purpose. I believe that's our purpose. We are this vehicle that the world is going to connect with God. We are the ones who are going to reveal Jesus to a world that is simply lost and they're doomed without him. All of humankind is in a nosedive to death, to destruction, and to an eternity of hell and a separation from God. That is the inevitability of all of humankind. Every person without Christ is in this nosedive that is just going to crash. That's the human condition. But God in his mercy and in his grace provides the needed connection, correction to that nosedive. He sent his son to come, to live, to die, and to be raised for that fix. But the fix has to be received. It has to be applied. And for it to be applied, it has to be heard. And for it to be heard, it has to be delivered and told. And that's us. That's you and me. That's the church. That is our purpose. That's what it is we are to do. And like those in exile in Esther's time, wondering about their purpose in Xerxes' kingdom, in another empire in Persia, we're in another kingdom as well. We need to constantly remember that. You and I live in a kingdom that's really not home. Roanoke, Indiana, and South Whitley, Indiana, that's just a temporary home. That is not our real home. We have this limited time here, and we need to ask ourselves, are we accomplishing the things we are to be accomplishing here as followers of Christ? I think it was easy for Esther's people to get comfortable in the things of Persia. You know, they were settled there, and they just made it their home to be content, to be satisfied in meeting their own needs. I think that was very possible there. It was safe there for them. And that's comes back to me. What about me? Am I comfortable in South Whitley, Indiana? You know, do I have all my stuff and my finances and my fun and all the things that just make me comfy? Not unlike Persia. And what about the purpose? What about this purpose? What about the mission that we are to be on, me and you together as a church? To be God's people, making more disciples, loving God with everything I have, loving my neighbor like myself, and being Christ, being love to a world that so desperately needs it. The mission, the purpose of who we are. Yeah, I think this story for sure is a reminder to us, to you and me, that we too have a calling like Israel did. And we have this place here. It's really not our home. We're sort of in exile here. And we need to be doing all we can be doing to fulfill what God has commanded you and I to do. So yeah, look forward to this study in Esther, and I hope that you'll take time here to read this. And we'll come back and we'll talk about it here for the next few weeks. And if you get a minute, go to Redbox, maybe you can rent it or watch it online for free. I look forward to this time that we would have talking about Esther, a night with the king. Let's pray.